It's time for Blindly Obvious.
Hello and welcome to Blindly Obvious. I'm Tyler, as always, with my co-host Jeff. And today we have special guest Jerry Gierken, who we're going to share his story, talk about the business that he owns, his past career experience, as well as what he's doing now, and maybe tell us a little bit about his story. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here. And congratulations on your 100th episode.
Thank you. Yeah, you are going to be number 100.
I just realized that.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
And maybe if you could just maybe tell people a little background about your story, where you come from, and how you ended up where you are today.
Sure. Adopted when I was 18 months old. I met my biological mother when I was 19, my biological father when I was 26, because he was just celebrating his 25th wedding anniversary and had no idea that I existed. My biological mother was in inner city Toledo, single mom, two kids, had me, wasn't going to work. I had medical issues. So she put me up for adoption, and I was, again, this is the grace of God. He took me out of an inner city volatile situation. I grew up in Liberty Center, small farming community, about 3,000 people. I was a pretty good athlete, played football, wrestled, state placer in wrestling. Graduated from high school, went to Ohio University on a wrestling scholarship, but I wasn't mentally ready for college. So I dropped out, went in the Marine Corps, did 4 years in the Marine Corps, did a tour in Desert Storm, got out of the Marine Corps and came to Findlay to wrestle. That's how I ended up in Findlay. 2 weeks after I got out of the Marine Corps, I met my wife, and then we'll be married 32 years this year. We got two daughters and two son-in-laws and a couple Australian shepherds and a Persian cat.
So you're about to maybe embark on the grandparenthood here soon.
Yeah, we're definitely hopeful. It's God's timing, you know.
Sure.
They're definitely practicing, but nothing's happened yet.
All right. That's what marriage is for, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, what was your experience like? Would you say, you know, being in the Marines, did that really help kind of shape the individual that you are today?
Oh, for certain. I was always pretty squared away. I remember growing up, my sister's bedroom was a mess, and mine was always tight. And I would actually walk down the hallway and past her bedroom and close her bedroom door because it was just a mess and I couldn't tolerate it. But and then so being squared away in the Marines was definitely helpful. And then I just needed more time to mature. And then I went back to college and got 2 degrees in 3.5 years and was able to push through that. And I think a lot of it is attributed to the fact that I had the discipline and then I had the maturity.
And when did you develop your relationship of faith?
At the age of 13, I went on I was wrestling in junior high and went to Fellowship of Christian Athletes retreat at Clay High School.
Mm-hmm.
That's where I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior.
And never looked back?
No.
Awesome.
Yep, for sure. I've had my share of setbacks like everybody else. And my life is like, I have these five Fs, right? I have my faith, my family, my finances, my fitness, and my fun. So I frame my life around that in that order.
Makes good sense. And you've also written a book, correct?
Yeah, it's in the final stages of editing right now, but it's basically my life story.
Mm-hmm.
The sequel book is going to be what's the best piece of advice you ever received, and I've got that from my own podcast, 115 episodes, and asked that question, got a lot of great responses and a lot of great insights.
Sure. So obviously, everybody's kind of got their own little tidbit of something that somebody planted in them that's kind of just stuck and remained forever and kind of served as a driving source of their success.
Some are really profound. Some are just funny. Like one guy said, there's never enough beer. I mean, that was, that's, you know, but and so when I was talking to my editor and publisher about writing this book, I was like, well, we're going to have to omit some things. And she was like, no, we'll just have different sections. So you'll have the inspirational section, you'll have the comedic section, so on and so forth.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
Kind of break it up.
Mm-hmm.
You've now, I don't know how long ago, but you've moved into the realm of business ownership on top of your day-to-day career. And what are you doing with that?
So my wife and I have a credit repair company. It's called Lighthouse Credit Repair, where we help consumers correct or expunge inaccurate reporting on their credit bureaus. And it marries very well with my day-to-day profession, which is in the automotive sector. I see a large number of clients that come in that have bruised credit or just bad credit. And so we can help them to gain credit score as well as counsel them to get out of debt. Cash is king, but your credit is your leverage. You got the difference between a 20% interest rate or a 5% interest rate over a 72-month loan on an automobile. It's,
right.
It's substantial.
You got a huge difference there.
Yep. All right, I'm gonna jump in. So I'm listening to you, and right away I'm gathering you're a driven person. you're one of those, you've got a map and you're moving towards it. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So you got your five F's. What keeps you from saying the sixth one? No, not that one. The one that says, forget it. Right. What gets...
wasn't what I was thinking.
What gets you out of bed on the crappy days? Like, what's your driver? Like, okay, so you got your map and you got your plan and you're working towards it. But on those junk days where you're just like, man, forget it. Why do you still get out of bed?
So I believe that a consistent routine equals success. So for me, I'm very regimented with my routine, my schedule. I'm up at 4:47 to 5 o'clock every day, naturally. I wake up. And when I put my feet on the floor, then I'm up and I'm moving. Then I have my quiet time, whether it's prayer, meditation, listening to something with my first cup of coffee. And then my second cup of coffee, I take to the gym. I sit in the massage chair at the gym for 10 minutes, and then I get my workout in. And I find a lot of my inspiration in two places. One is at the gym when I'm exercising, releasing endorphins. And the other one, crazy as it may sound, is in the shower when I'm washing my hair. And I don't know if I'm stimulating my brain, but I get different ideas.
Yeah.
But I've always, to answer your question directly, I can't. I don't know. I don't know what it is. I just know that I have things to do. I almost died 2 years ago in February. And so my thought with that is I'm not dead, so I'm not done. So God still has things for me to do. Hmm. And I have a prayer in front of my keyboard that says, God, put in front of me what you need me to do for you today and help me recognize it when I see it. And so I'm very present in conversations. I think we've lost that. Most people are thinking with the intent to respond instead of truly attending to what somebody's saying.
Sure.
And when you're truly attending to what they're saying, you pick up on cues and clues, and maybe you're able to help them or guide and direct them or just find out, you know, what's really going on. So for me, I carpe diem, seize the day, every day.
So I would totally agree with what you just said there, because I think due to the digitalization of society, I think we've all become probably a little bit distant due to the fact of face-to-face or peer-to-peer interactions have been significantly minimalized to where you're not necessarily actually meeting with somebody in person to get that, you know, you might have the small talk of how are you doing, but then take it to the next level. But yeah, but how are you really doing?
I speak about four different laws. One of them is the law of reciprocity. And what I found in conversations with people is that if I share something with them, or when I speak, I do public speaking stuff, when I speak and I share something, like for example, I could share that I'm really struggling with my youngest son-in-law because we had a tiff, and he's took it personally, and then I share that story, and then the law of reciprocity takes over, and that person that I'm communicating with feels like they need to share something with me.
Mm, sure. Or even probably a lot of relatability of when you can be vulnerable and share experiences you've had. I feel like obviously all of us have had similar experiences, or at least something we can relate to what it is that you're saying, right?
Yep, 100%.
What was the other three?
The other three what?
I thought you said there was four.
Four laws. What's the other one?
Yeah. Oh. The law of diminishing intent. Basically what that is the longer we wait to take action, the less likely we'll take that action, because waiting feels safe, but waiting oftentimes kills dreams.
Hmm.
The law of familiarity. And I relate that to the Peanuts cartoon. When the parents talk in the Peanuts cartoon, what does it sound like? Wah, 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 wah. So if you're leading a team, or for example, you're a manager and you do the same meeting every time you have a meeting, What does your audience do? They kind of tune you out. They think it's wah, 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 wah. So they're familiar with what you're talking about. That's why I suggest that you have outside speakers come in, because they're going to give maybe the same talk, but it's going to be different for your audience.
How do you resist that? Because you're a guy of routine. Don't you have a conflict there?
No, not at all. And that's a great question. How I do that is, one of my core values is personal growth and development. So I'm a lifetime learner. I'm always looking for things to
always perfecting.
Yeah. And so, and I read a book a week.
Clearly you are sharp.
Yeah. My goal is 52-1. So the average person reads a book a year. Mm-hmm. My goal is to have a 52-1 advantage over everybody else. So by reading those books, I gain nuggets and different things out of those books. Mm-hmm. And I have a vision board in my office. with all these different things that I gleaned from books on the left side. And then on the right side, I have my I am statements, where I'm constantly putting things in my mind that are positive, because the chatterbox can take over. You know, the chatterbox is the voices inside your head. And oftentimes, most of the time, that chatterbox is lying. Mm. It's telling you false truths about who you are, where you should be, why aren't you here? You know, you're this age, and why don't you have that? And why, you know, all that negative talk.
Yeah.
So what I do is you got to retrain your brain. And how do you do that? With I am statements and with other things that you have in front of you all the time.
Mm. Love it. Okay, what's number four?
I don't remember.
Is that what it is? Yeah, the four laws.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
I thought it actually was, I don't remember. Like a bad memory. I was like, oh, well, that would be pretty cool too.
So you are very much a mindset person of in the proper direction. The opportunities for accomplishment are in some ways limitless.
Correct. Mm-hmm. One of the books that I read last year, it's called The Four Agreements. And the four agreements are this: is be impeccable with your words, never assume, don't take things personally, and always do your best. The one that most people struggle with is taking things personally. But also in that book, there was another big nugget that I took away, was yesterday is for regret, tomorrow is for worry, and today is for gratitude. So if you think about it, there's nothing we can do about the rearview mirror. It's mm-hmm. behind us. So don't give regret any of your energy, okay? You can learn from it, but don't spend a ton of time back there. Tomorrow is for worry. And if you think about tomorrow is for worry, tomorrow's always a day away.
Sure.
So there's no worry today. That's tomorrow. There used to be a bar here in town in Findlay. It was called the Euler Pizza Pub. And they had a sign on their wall that said, free drinks tomorrow. So then you come in the next day and it's free drinks tomorrow.
It's always
tomorrow.
It's always a day away.
So worry is always a day away. Worry is for tomorrow. And today is for gratitude. You know, we're not promised tomorrow.
I love that. That's good.
It's awesome. Hey, like, okay. You are a confident person, so I can ask this. Reasons you've succeeded and why you have failed. That's a big one, but
yeah.
You handle
this.
You are an enigma here, and I want to pick your brain.
I've always been driven, and I think that comes from my upbringing in a small community. So we'd always get in the circle, you know, at football, and we'd go, pride, pride, pride. In Psalms, it talks about the pride is not a good thing. And it's taken me a lot of years to understand that. I'm still very driven, and I still have a lot of self-confidence because I want to set the example for other people. So I think that's probably something that's driven me to success in everything that I've done, is just my own personal expectations for myself. And sometimes that could be a negative because then you're hard on yourself. Reasons that I fail, I don't really look at failure. I look at it as a learning experience.
So to you, in essence, you would never consider that you failed, rather that you took away a lesson of something that you needed to learn to make yourself improve.
The only time you fail is when you stop.
You stop learning.
Mm.
That's the only time.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
Very good perspective.
Now, how about, we were just discussing before we got on here, you were talking to me about the three E's, and I was telling you the reason I reached out to begin with was I feel like you have an awesome way of illustrating things that connect people with maybe everyday living and life experiences that in some ways we can all relate to, but yet you tie them together to where, you know, there's a lesson from maybe the experience that you've had and you use it and show others, you know, follow this. And you end everything with, I think this is my favorite part, that you always say, be the light. And I think that's awesome because sitting here getting to talk with you, you really encompass what being the light is, right? To shine the light of Jesus onto others is going to make such a greater impact than forcing the words of what you believe in down someone's throat.
Absolutely. So the three E's are this, and this will help your audience when you're framing something. If you're writing something, like writing a long post, it helped me with my first book. You share an experience, which we all have life experience. That's the first E, experience. You share the experience. Then you extract a lesson. So extract is the next E. And then you educate or entertain your audience in the third part. So you've got experience, extract, educate or entertain. And if you frame your thought process like that, like share the experience. I was at the airport, blah, blah, blah. And then this happened to me. I forgot to take a picture where my car was parked. And then I was walking around the parking garage for a half an hour. What was my education out of this? Take a picture where you parked, you know, that. So, but it's very brief, but you see what I'm saying. You just frame all your stuff. Stories sell. To your point, Tyler, about, you know, we're showing the word of God, mm-hmm. but the stories are what sells, and there's stories in the Bible all over the place.
Sure.
And that's what a comedian does. He tells stories mm-hmm. to get somebody to laugh. You tell stories to help frame people's minds, and then you send the message of what you want to share.
Very good.
Mm-hmm. Now, could you think of a time in your life that maybe you were at a real crossroads with maybe your faith or just in general that either you were considering you were walking away from your faith, you acknowledged that you were far from it, or that you used it to carry yourself through an incredibly difficult situation?
Yeah, there's been a few different ones, but most recently I had a gambling addiction.
Okay.
And I came to grips with it eventually, and I'll give you the story. But what I came to realize is, you know, I told you guys before that I had wrestled in 7 different national championships. And when I stepped away from competing, I was missing that hit.
Mm.
And so then in 07, 08, when the economy went to crap.
It's crap, yep.
I wasn't making any money. I had a wife, 2 kids at home. I wasn't making any money because nobody was buying anything. So I turned to gambling to generate revenue. And I would drive, at that time there was no casinos close by. The closest one was in Canada. And I would drive to Windsor, Canada, and my wife thought I was going to work. And I would drive to Windsor, and I put enough money, I had a 2000 Chevy Lumina. I would put enough money in the ashtray to make sure if I lost all my money in the casino that I would be able to pay the toll to get back into the States. So I'm real calculated, as you guys know. Mm-hmm. So I'm figuring all this stuff out. I was trying to make money, trying to do this. Well, then I got a different job. I literally doubled my income.
Wait, so the gambling didn't work?
No.
Okay.
No.
I wanted to hear how that worked.
No.
Been there and tried that. Yeah, I know. Yeah. Same here, man.
Yeah. So I got the new job, but the addiction didn't go away. So I doubled my income. So the money was there.
Now you're doubling your gambling.
But now I'm going to the casino. And I would get up at 2 in the morning. My wife would be sleeping. My girls would be sleeping. And I'd tiptoe my way downstairs, jump in my car, drive to Detroit, and then eventually drive to Toledo. And I would be there until, I think, 4:30 in the morning. Because then I knew I could get back home. And then my wife would be getting up, and I'd have my cup of coffee, and she wouldn't know. I was hiding it from my wife by going to cash advances and getting money with the thought process that I was going to hit it big and then I'd pay them all off. Well, that didn't happen. So it was like 2:15 on a Sunday morning, and I was one exit away from the Hollywood Casino in Toledo when my phone rang and my Bluetooth popped up, and it was our oldest daughter calling me. I didn't want to answer the phone.
Right.
All this guilt, shame, embarrassment, all these emotions came crashing down on me. And I was just like, I wanted to be done with that life. So I answered the phone and she was like, what are you doing? And again, I was one exit away from getting the hit. I said, I'm turning around. And I never went back. So that was it for me.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm.
But did she know?
They all of them knew.
So they were just not confronting you.
Right.
When did you realize you were trapped in your mind? I'm curious because you got a map, man, and you understand motivations and drivers. And so, you know, what was it for you that kept you going back? Because you're smart. And so you see, and you know you're addicted. You know all these things, but you kept going back. What was that battle going on inside of you?
It was the hit.
Okay.
It was
junkie
the hit.
Rush.
Yeah. It didn't really, it was all the sounds and all the experience and all the stuff when I was there. You know, I would either play craps or I'd play blackjack.
I swear I was going to ask you which one of those two you played.
Yeah.
So you're a high risk you're a high risk guy.
Mm-hmm.
High reward.
Yep.
You and I have the same taste, man. I knew that's what you were going to play. But you seem very probabilities and analytical. Yeah. And
That was it, chasing the hit.
So you're a cool, collected guy when others are coming apart, right?
Yes.
Hmm. And you can think. Maybe not always clearly, but you can think.
What a testament, though, to the women in your life that... Obviously, that was a very dark period for you, right? And then all of this has come out to them. And I mean, your wife especially. And I think even more so in the modern day, you wouldn't see. And I'm not just saying that women, but men too. If women have an issue, I don't feel like you see people really stick things out like that anymore as you once did. And what a testament to your wife, man. Obviously, you know that she truly loves you and cares about you and saw the real and full potential in you to... You know, I know you're better than this, and we're going to get through it.
Yeah, awesome. And I want to tack on to that is, for anyone listening, the important role where we see things happening in our loved ones' lives and our silence becomes an enabler.
Hmm.
And why all of us at times in our life need an intervention. True. Someone to love us enough to throw us a lifeline.
So what a blessing that your daughter just happened to, in my opinion, be sent by God to give you that call to, Hey man, it's time to shut this down.
Yeah.
So how my wife and I met, and I wrote a long post about it. I call it divine alignment. Okay. So I was going to stay in the Marines. I was going to go to embassy school in Quantico, Virginia, but they give you 30 days leave before you go, because you go 18 months to a hot embassy as soon as you graduate. So I came home, and some of my friends that I was wrestling with in high school were wrestling at Finley College. So I was training, because I wrestled in the Marines as well. So I came down here to Finley to train, and the coach asked me, because I was kicking the crap out of the heavyweight, and he was like, "You ever think about wrestling in college?" And I'm like, yeah, but I have three more years to go, because I signed an extension.
Okay.
Because I had to have 36 months on the books. So I called a friend of mine who's a lieutenant colonel in the Pentagon, and I told him that I had a chance to wrestle in college. And I said, but I signed this extension. So long story short, he looked at my service record book and there was a loophole so I could get out of the contract. So I finished my tour in Desert Storm, and then I rotated out of the Marines and came to Finley. 2 weeks after I got out of the Marine Corps, I'm in the kitchen at the Euler Pizza Pub. Put too many pepperonis on a pizza. They kicked me out of the kitchen. One pizza, too many pepperonis. This is all divine, okay? Follow me, okay? Put me behind the bar. This gentleman, Rick Hatfield, who went to played football at Finley College.
Yep, I know him.
He was regular. He came in. He's like, "You're new here." I said, "Yeah, I just got out of the Marines." He's like, "Well, you got to check out this place called Brandy's Nightclub." So that Saturday, I went to Brandy's. Crowd everywhere, girls, guys, dancing, fun time. See this tall brunette on the dance floor. I went out to ask her to dance. She blew me off. I turned to my right, and there's this petite blonde. And I was like, "You want to dance?" And she's like, "Yeah." So we did a couple fast dances. A slow song comes on. I said, "Hey, you want to dance?" She's like, "I don't slow dance with guys I just met." I'm like, "Cool. Not what I'm used to in California, but oh, that's fine." So we go over by the bar. We're standing there, and one of her sisters, she's got three sisters. One of her sisters said, "We got to go." I'm like, "See ya." No name, no phone number, nothing. Okay. That was Saturday. Monday, I'm at the pub. We had a pizza special. Door swings open. These four chicks walk in from playing intramural volleyball. She's one of them. I waited on their table. I said, "Aren't you the girl I just met the other night at that Brandy's place?" She's like, "Yeah, that was me." Waited on them. They paid. They left. No name, no phone number, nothing. That's number two. That Wednesday, I got to go get my driver's license switched from California to Ohio. Rick says, "Oh, there's this place called Woolly Bullies. It's right next to the BMV," because the BMV used to be over on off of Tiffin Avenue. And I get my license. I walk in. It's December 12th, 1990. I walk into Woolly Bullies, and she's in there having a party for Christmas with her work coworkers. And I'm like, I don't believe in coincidences.
Right. Third time's the charm.
Yeah. So we hung out for a couple hours. And then that Saturday, one full week, she came into the pub. And I got off at 9 and went upstairs, took a shower, came down. She had dismissed her friends. And 6 months later, we got engaged, been married 32 years this year.
Hmm.
You talk about divine alignment. I mean, because I got out of the Marine Corps, I was able to get out of the Marine Corps. And then get kicked out of the kitchen to be in front of that guy. And then he directs me to the three places that she was at.
Sure. And I think so often, though, that story is a great description of, you may have non-believers who, well, you can't feel, you can't see God, X, Y, Z. When, if you're looking, God's everywhere, man. Just like that. Like, if you're looking for God in your life, God is always in your life. He's always showing up and doing things just like that. Putting you in places to, just like you said earlier about your prayer, show me where I can be the difference. And if you're looking, you will always see where you can be a difference. And maybe as we, you know, start to wrap up here, you gave me two questions that you said you used to always ask everybody. And I'm like, that's awesome. I'm going to ask them to you at the end of this. What is the greatest piece of advice that you've ever been given?
So it was from the owner of Pizza Pub, Tom Jeffire. His son was my wrestling coach. And I graduated from college. I was a college All-American. And I was coaching voluntarily at Finley High School. And the head coach was a school teacher at Finley and had never wrestled before. Now, here I am, a college All-American, just got out of college, in great shape, ready to go, know how to run a wrestling room. So he was telling me how to run a wrestling room. And I'm like, so I was at the pub. I was basically whining to Tom. And he's like, well, let me ask you this. Do you like some things that he does? I said, yeah. Yeah, he processes the, you know, the schedules and all that stuff, make sure the bus is ready to go, all that stuff. He said, but you obviously don't like some things that he does. I said, no. I said, he doesn't know how to run a wrestling room, and he's trying to tell me how to do it. So here's where the advice comes in. He said, you're going to interact with all kinds of people throughout your entire life, young and old. The things that you like that they do, you replicate. The things that you don't like that they do, discard, and that's going to make you the human being that you are. So I learned from everybody.
I was just going to say that. So that kind of goes into your mindset of that you're constantly learning and willing to learn, that you realize every person you cross paths with probably has a piece of your puzzle that you can take to fit into your life.
Yes. Yep. And you can learn, I mean, learn what not to do. Like I said, it's sure, always the positive stuff. I mean, you could see a person with a destructive lifestyle like I had, you know, and learn from my mistakes.
Sure. And that's that's obviously just as valuable as something that you use for success. And what would you say is the greatest piece of advice that you would give someone else?
Just what I said.
Just that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've shared that.
You gave me a quote earlier too that I really liked about each day being a gift. How did that go exactly? I thought that was a pretty cool quote.
Well, when I closed my podcast with, hey, remember guys, yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is a gift. That's why we call it the present. Make it a good one.
Yeah, I like it. That's good stuff.
And if we could all get a little more present in general, I think it would serve everybody as well as ourselves a much better reality, because we're not thinking in the past, we're not living in the future, we're actually living for the day that we're in.
You know, the only bird that attacks an eagle.
What is it?
Is it a crow?
A crow. Yeah, right. It's a crow. And that crow will come down and it'll peck at the eagle's neck. The eagle won't do anything. But you know what he will do? He'll soar higher.
Mm.
Eventually, the crow will run out of oxygen and drop off. So my point to that is distractions, like you were just talking about, all these, this noise, these distractions, rise above it. And it'll eventually fall off.
Jerry.
Awesome. Well, it's been a pleasure, brother. Thank you so much for coming on and joining
us.
Appreciate
you guys. Congratulations again on 100 episodes.
Thank you.
Yeah. You're it.
As always, this has been Blindly Obvious. If we can see it, you can see it too. You can visit our website at www.blindlyobvious.com, where you can catch up on past episodes, as well as learn a little bit about us. We're so happy that you're here, and hope these are just the conversations you've been looking for. If you like what you've heard, please subscribe and share the word. Peace, love, and God bless. And remember, the eyes mean nothing if the mind is blind.
It's blindly obvious, baby.